the time. God's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Secondly, notice this. Oh, I'm sorry. I should actually read the passage, right? It helps. So verse 16, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I've made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the two talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here, I have made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So now this is, a message to people who are claiming to be followers of Jesus, all of them, including the unfaithful one. These are all people who are confessing to be his servant, right? We'll see how this pans out, right? Now notice, first of all, again, I mentioned this before, but the faithfulness, notice faithfulness is not dependent upon the size of the return on your investment, but the degree of faithfulness to properly utilize and invest whatever abilities and resources that one is being given, not what one isn't being given. So I want you to notice that here. That the guy who got the five talents and got five more, and the guy who got the two talents and gave two more, when Jesus came to the guy who got two back for the two that he gave, he didn't go, what, only two? Listen, this guy got five. What's up with you? You know, he didn't compare with that guy's five. He's like, well done. You took the two that I gave you, you got two more. The guy who got the five, he got five more. They were both faithful. Both were commended. He didn't compare the two. Again, no comparison going on here. In fact, the scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 10. Paul's talking about some guys who are in ministry who love to compare themselves and try to make themselves look more important and bigger than Paul. It'd be pretty hard to do, but they were trying to do that, right? And they were apparently having some success in this whole kind of thinking. Paul goes, you know, we don't even go there. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. When they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Like, this is totally not how it works in the kingdom of God. It is totally not the way it is. And yet, you see it all the time in the church, don't we? This guy's amazing. This guy is not quite as amazing. This guy's somewhat amazing. And this guy's a real loser. And this, you know, it's like, wait a minute. God is going, huh? He is not at all thinking about things like that. He's saying, listen, you know, I'm just going to tell it to you true. There's some people with some really big, flashy, dashy ministries, and Jesus is going to say, man, I don't know. Whoa. And then there's going to be some little old lady who sat in the back of the church who was like faithful and hit it out of the park with everything she was given. And he's going to go, Well done, good and faithful servant. Man, you totally hit it out of the park, man. You were faithful. You took everything I gave you, and you were faithful with it. You invested in my kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a little. I got tons more for you, man. It's going to be great forever. You see, we can't be looking on the outside and getting this straight. We really can't. So let's just give up. You know what I'm saying? Let's just kind of give up, you know, on that. That's God's job. And let's not fall into the trap of comparing ourselves with other people. You know, when it comes to push comes to shove, I'm standing and I'm going to be talking to Jesus, and those eyes of fire are going to be looking at me, and they're filled with love, but they're eyes of fire, man. They see through everything, man. They burn through everything. Everything. It's me and him. You know what I'm saying? What everybody else thinks ain't going to matter. One iota. That's the way it's going to be. Now, let's notice this unfaithful servant. Notice that the unfaithful servant thought that his or her life was irrelevant to the master. This really showed the unbelief in his or her heart, right? In this person's heart. This represents people who hear the gospel and they make some sort of profession of faith even. But they show by their lack of obedience to God and his word their lack of faith. Jesus said such a person's own words are going to actually condemn them. See, their failure to respond to God and invest in his kingdom when called to do so, it actually, when people respond like that, like maybe they make some sort of initial response to God in some way and they're confessing to be Christians, but they fail to really give their life to him and really invest in their life in his kingdom and what matters. It actually leads them to think critically of God, to see him wrongly, and to see themselves as irrelevant in God's kingdom. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, here's the thing. No life is without purpose and calling. Did you know that? Not, you know, we shouldn't go, oh, I've got just one talent. I don't have two like he does. I don't got five like him. I don't got 10 like that guy over there. I just got one. You know what the thing about talents? You know how much a talent is worth? A talent is worth about 16 years' wages of a day laborer. That's a lot of money. That tells me everybody's valuable. Don't ever say, my life's like this. Oh, my goodness. Don't ever say that. It's totally not true. Your life is not just, no, you're not, no. But I only got this, you know, this much, 16 years worth of labor right there. That's what that's what God has invested in you, in each one of us. God's invested a lot in each and every single one of us. None of our lives are insignificant. Now, secondly, he claims he's afraid of his master, so he hides his investment. Now, here's the thing. If he was actually afraid of him, well, then why didn't he go ahead and invest it? I mean, that's what the master's saying. Like, wait a second. I'm going to let your own words condemn you. What? Like, why didn't you go ahead and invest this? If you're so afraid of me, I mean, you would be investing it, right? This shows a complete lack of respect. Complete lack of respect for God, really, the master, right? No reverence, no respect for him or his commands. The master has entrusted his property to this servant. But this servant, by his laziness, showed he didn't, not only did he not fear his master, he actually despised him. It was unimportant to him what the master wanted him to do. It didn't matter to him. He was indifferent to God. I know lots of Christians who are living life very indifferent to God. It's as if he's not even there. You know, maybe they occasionally hit the time card and go to church, right? But there's no, it's like God might as well not even be in their life, because pretty much he really isn't, right? And there's going to be a lot of people like this on Judgment Day. That's the sobering reality of it. But if a Christian shows no interest in investing in God's kingdom, he's either desperately in need of personal revival and fresh repentance, or he simply has never yet come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't really get what it means to repent and surrender his life to Jesus. Just doesn't get it yet. There's a lot of people like that. I mean, they're around. It can happen. See, what it says is this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. Paul says this interesting thing. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, right? So again, it's like that master. He gave the servants everything, didn't he? They didn't have anything. They wouldn't have Zippo if he didn't just give it to them, right? It's kind of what salvation's like, right? Here's this beautiful gift I'm going to give to you, right? That's what it's like, right? Gift, so that no one may boast. We can't say, wow, I got the gifts I did because I was really special, you know? No. No, there's nothing you got that you didn't receive, right? Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 4:14. I think he says, you know, what do you have that you didn't receive? If that's the case, then why boast about it? You know what I mean? I mean, your parents, did you decide who your parents were? No. Did you decide what country you were going to be born in? I don't think so. Did you decide, even you had very little control even over a lot of your education, right? I mean, your opportunities that you get in life, a lot of those doors opening, closing, a lot of this you have like no control over. You get given so much. God gives you the genetic makeup. He gives you spiritual gifts. Those come from Him. They're gifts. You can't earn a gift, right? So there's no one may boast, right? But he goes on, he says, for we are His workmanship. Again, who's the source of this? Him, right? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. But here's the catch. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him, right? In them, in Him. So we got to walk in the works that He's called us to do. God has works for you to do that I can't do. I really can't. I mean, it's true. I can't do. My wife does stuff I could never do. Never do. I mean, don't give me a pencil and draw a picture. Forget it, man. It ain't going to happen, you know? I mean, like, no, you know? No, so, honey, you're way better at that than I am, you know? I mean, there's things she can do I cannot do, okay? And that's true. I mean, there's things that each one of you can do. I cannot do that stuff. I cannot live your calling. I can't. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it as well as you do it and can do it. You've got the grace to do what God's called you to do. And so we need to walk in the grace that He has for each one of us. There's good works for each one of us. There's a talent. There's 16 years of labor invested by the Master in you. Lots of stuff He's invested in you. And He's looking for a return. And He saved us graciously. And it's just been given to us. This kingdom's been handed to us. Can you imagine? A kingdom that'll never end. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and we get to invest in it. And our little bit of this and that, and He's going to remember it all. And He's going to pay us back with, like, you know, we invest $2.50, and He goes, okay, here's $2.5 million. You know, and it's like, what? I don't deserve this, Lord. He goes, it's all right. I'm just generous. I love you, you know. And this is the way it's going to be on Judgment Day. It's going to be awesome if we're investing in His kingdom. So again, it speaks of His salvation. So appearing before the judge on Judgment Day with a critical attitude toward God and a total lack of investment in the things of His kingdom, it really reveals a lack of faith in the gospel in the first place, right? If we really believed it, if we really believe that we're going to get to live forever with Him and that everything we do actually matters for eternity, we would live accordingly, wouldn't we? And so we need to get a hold of that paradigm, of that eternal paradigm. And by the way, that's what will help us go through any season of persecution, whether it's one of those quote-unquote little persecutions in church history or whether it's the biggie, you know. It's having that eternal viewpoint, like this isn't all there is. Like, you know, so what if I live another 10 years or, you know, not? You know, I mean, it's like I'm going to live forever with Him. Like, really forever. Like, that's like a long time. You know what I mean? Like, and anything I'm investing now, even if I give a cup of cold water in His name, He's going to remember that. And he's going to reward me and bless me for that. I mean, that's just amazing when you think about that. So now he goes on, and we wrap it up here with the last thing here about Judgment Day, sheep and the goats. Verses 31 to 46. Basically, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, verse 32. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. So then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so we see one of the key things that distinguishes the believers from the unbelievers, the sheep from the goats, is acts of compassion done in Christ's name, done in the name of Jesus, right? Done for Jesus. Now, it's literally, I mean, this only happens if you get into a saving relationship with Jesus. You're not going to do acts of compassion in the name of Jesus unless you know him. So that's the key, right? You first got to be born again, right, and get into the kingdom. And then what will happen for everybody who's born again is they're going to have these acts of compassion that God saw he's going to talk about on Judgment Day. He's going to say, you guys did this for me. You guys did it for me. When we minister to people in order to show them Christ's compassion and point them to Jesus, what we're doing is we're treating them with, if that's our motive, we're treating them with respect as people who are made in the image of God. Even when we're doing this to unbelievers, right? We're treating them with respect. This person is made in the image of God. They're precious to him, and he wants to save them. He wants to rescue them. And you know what? When we do that in his name, with that, and we're looking at the person and we're saying, this person, that prison inmate is a potential follower of Jesus. That person, that down and outer, he's somebody who Jesus died for. This person over here in need, that's somebody that God loves and wants to rescue and save. When we actually see people like that and we respond accordingly with his compassion, some of those people are actually going to get saved. And that's what he's talking about on Judgment Day. He's saying, you responded to these people in my name. They're like your brother and sister. Did you know that? They're now got saved. They're right with me because of that, because of the love you showed them in my name, because of what you did to reach out to them. Because you were compassionate, because you gave, because you opened up your wallet and gave money, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, because you did stuff, you impacted them, and that's done for him. He's not going to forget that. See, and what's going to really capture the goats here is what they didn't do. The ones that go into eternal punishment, it's the sins of omission, even more than the sins of commission. You see here, the sins of commission, stuff we've done, if you've been living on the planet for any length of time, a lot of us can talk about a lot of awful things we've done. A lot of it before Christ, right? I got a nice list I could show you. Thank God he shredded it for me, right? I mean, you know, and even those of us who got saved fairly young in Christian homes and really gave our life to Christ, there's this whole list you would have had had you not done that, right? I mean, and there's this stuff that you were saved from that would have been there. Trust me. I guarantee it. It would have been there. Yep, definitely. Right? There's all this stuff that's not in your list because you got saved when you were younger. But there's also other things, even after we've gotten saved, right, that we've done and we regret and we have to confess our sins to God. Read that 1 John, by the way, about walking with God. It's the main thing it talks about is being quick to confess our sins and to walk in truth and love and obedience. Really, that's what it's about, walking with Him. But the bottom line is it's these sins of omission, and we're finishing with this. It's not the sins of commission, because see, the sins of commission, the sins that we've done, Jesus washes them all away. And then He gives us a brand new heart, and then we actually do, we start to walk out in His will for us, right? We start to do works, good works that He's planned for us in advance to do, like it says in Ephesians, right? We actually start to live that stuff out. For the unbeliever, they've done the acts, the sins of commission, which Jesus could have just washed away too for them, right? But the big thing that really distinguished them, you know, the believers, the unbelievers, yeah, both did a lot of awful sins in their life, right? But the unbeliever never responded in love to Him and repented and responded. And so even when they do things, acts of compassion, which sometimes unbelievers will do them, they're not doing them in the name of God and in Jesus' name. They're not doing it for Christ's sake. They might be doing it so they can pat themselves on the back, maybe just because their conscience is bugging them like they ought to do something. Sometimes they do it for that reason. Maybe it's just because they're hoping to one day hold up to God their little brownie points, right? Maybe that's what it is, right? So there's people do stuff like that for all these other reasons. That has nothing to do with doing it for Christ's sake, does it? So there's these complete sins of omission, stuff they never did that they could have done in the name of Christ, right? Because they never knew Him. Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, right? And so they get cast out into the lake of fire, into eternal punishment. So it's the sins of omission which will most glaringly reveal their lack of faith. Notice that was the case for the servant as well, the lazy servant, right? It was what he didn't do with the talent, right? That's what really made him stand out from the rest. He did nothing with it. He did nothing with the gospel message. He didn't respond in faith and turn his life and surrender his life to Christ. And that's the way it's going to be on Judgment Day. So, brethren, whatever we do for Him, He remembers. And those of us who have surrendered our life to Christ, we're going to get to inherit this kingdom which will never end. Isn't that wonderful? I just love that. I mean, we've got all eternity to live for. And we need to be ready. We need to live ready because Jesus is coming back. Aren't you glad? Like, I'm really glad things aren't going to continue the way they are. That makes me really happy when I think about that, you know? Think about all the mess in the world, and I go, thank God this is not going to continue the way it was. So I just want to close in prayer here, and then I'll hand it over to Mike. But right now, if you're going, I don't know, I just think maybe I really need to just surrender my life afresh to Christ. You know, maybe you are a believer, but you're going, yeah, like, the way I'm treating the body of Christ or the way I'm doing this or that, yeah, I just need to repent. And you just need to repent afresh. Or maybe you're saying, I don't know that I've ever really done this born-again thing and really surrendered my life to Christ. Now's the day of salvation. Now's the time. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. And He's saying, repent and follow me. Like, turn your life over to me. Live for what matters. So, Father, right now, we do that, Father. We just freshly commit our hearts to You, Lord. We just say again, Lord, we want to live ready. We want to be ready for Your return. We want to live in a way that matters because we know it all matters. We want to live with eternity in view. Help us to live that way. Help us to be seeing people the way You see people and not just seeing them according to the flesh, but seeing them as potential followers of You or actual followers of You, who You love and who You died for and who You care about. Father, help us to love Your body. Help us to love Your people. Help us to serve Your people. Lord, we want to be given over to You and to Your kingdom. We want to take what You're investing in us, and we want there to be a return on it. We thank You, Lord, that You don't demand more of us than what Your grace and Your resources and Your giftings require, Lord. You give us what we need to accomplish Your will for our lives. We thank you for that, and we just surrender to you afresh now in Jesus' name. Amen.